Welcome to the Social Impactors Podcast. This podcast is all about impact. We work to highlight impactful individuals making positive social change in their communities. From coaches, authors, entrepreneurs, influencers, we tap into the minds of some of the most impactful people around the world to find out how they have built a life of creating impact. Now listen in and be ready to go on a journey of enlightenment, motivation, and awe. Social impact everywhere.
Okay, so hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast, a podcast where we highlight people making impactful, positive social change in their communities. And today we have Steve Perkins, who we might have just met, but I mean, I can already tell we got a connection in the sense of social impact. So Steve, I'd love for you just to introduce yourself, you know, as a social impactor. Who you are, what you do, and why you truly believe in that idea.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Avery. And thanks for having me on. This is really fun. I love the name of the podcast too, you know, because there's a lot of talk about impact, and I don't know that everyone really gets to think about what that could mean for them. So for me, I kind of grew up, I wanted to be an inventor. That was like, well, when I grow up, I want to invent things. But then I got really sad. I was like, but everything's been invented. What am I going to make? Yeah. And you know, my path kind of led me into engineering school and college, but I never really knew, that didn't feel quite right. But I was always thinking about, like, what do I want to be when I grow up? Or what's my purpose? Like, what should I do with my career? And so I questioned that for years. And I was kind of always on the hunt and, you know, trying to figure that out. So, you know, fast forward to now, and I started a company called Greenhouse, where we're really helping people find that sweet spot. Like, what are your strengths and your passions, and what are you really wired to do? And then help them actually move into that and live that out. And so, you know, we help a lot of people launch new businesses or grow their existing business or find their dream job. And the whole idea is help people make the greatest contribution that they can make, and kind of really live into that potential that they have. So that's what we're doing, and I'm just loving it. You know, it's hard not to work.
<this point. laughs> Good thing, though. We talked about this before we started recording, but I said that I love the idea that you said about the sweet spot, right? And we had said, you know, there's strength finders, there's all these ways to identify, but never ways to put those into action. So Talk a little bit, if you can, just about, you know, that idea of the sweet spot and what made you want to do that, look at that culture.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, and again, this was like a 12-year journey of really trying to intentionally figure out, what am I meant to do? And the thing that I always got frustrated with is it seemed like there were two kind of categories of things of help out there. You had a lot of things that were like the personality test, which I love, by the way. I'm a total geek on personality tests. But they kind of leave you with a lot of, you know, some good self-awareness and good insight. And then you're like, what? What do I do with that? And then you kind of just go back to your old habits and, you know, maybe pull it out a few years later. Mm. And then on the other side of the spectrum, it seems like we've got a lot of these productivity tools and hacks, which can make you really efficient, but for most people, they're getting efficient at the wrong thing. It's not what they're uniquely meant to do. And so what I'm really interested in is, how can you bridge that gap? And, you know, I found a lot of helpful ways to do that through executive coaching. And that's part of what we do in our business. But then we take what works really well in that and kind of build it into our tools as well. So that's, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a soapbox for me. But you know, what's the point of insight if you can't turn it into action and make something that helps people?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's 100% true. And so, you know, encapsulating, let's say you're the last 12 years. I know that's a lot of time, but building up to what you're doing now, you know, doing culture training and doing this capacity building, how are you making a positive impact in your community?
Okay, yeah. So this question is kind of fun for me. It gets a little meta because I look at it as, the way we're impacting our community is by helping others make the impact they're meant to make. So, you know, I don't have data on this, but just kind of from lots of different interactions and work we've done, it seems like most people are walking around only really making like 20% of the impact that they could. They're only really using a small fraction of the potential that's in them. That's actually kind of where the name greenhouse came from. It's the whole idea of like a seed, you know, it's got the potential to be something so much bigger, but it kind of needs to be in the right environment that helps it grow into that. And so, you know, you probably understand this. I walk around and I see people, and it's like the lens I see people through is like, oh man, you're meant to be so much more. And we work with a lot of people who feel like stuck in a job that's the wrong job for them, or they're trying to figure out what's next. And, you know, for me, I walk around thinking, oh man, here, you're telling me about your dreams and your passion to help people in this way, but you're not doing it because you don't know what exactly to do, how to get there, how to kind of get over the hump. So, so we're just trying to help unlock and kind of activate people to make that impact that they're meant to make.
And I've noticed that too, just locally, and you know, the people I've interacted with, I've noticed just it's the internal confidence too. And I find that very much that environmental, I'll call it a footprint, right? That's around. Uh-huh. It really makes or breaks your identity. And it's really easy to say that, you know, oh, I'm a change maker, I'm gonna change the world. But when you have your environment beating you down to what it wants to identify you as over and over and over, mm-hmm. 3 years into that, anyone would break. That's just being human, right? So you have these people, like you're saying, stuck, but it's the environment that they're in. And if you change, simply build back that internal confidence, oh, they can unleash so much potential. And I love
it. Oh, man. That's so good. It's so true, right? And then you see it where when someone really comes alive to who they are and what they're meant to do, it's like it's infectious, and it starts turning other people on around them to, you know, get more motivated or get more intentional. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. It's like if you can just even help one person really kind of come alive, the ripple effect of that is crazy. I mean, I wish it was easier to measure, because it seems like so, like it makes such a difference.
Yeah, like exactly. So then this might be a rhetorical question, but do you believe that in business, social impact is important? Do you believe it's an important part of what businesses?
yeah, rhetorical.
Yeah, a little rhetorical, but good question.
Yeah, you know, I've always wanted to start a business because I want the whole business to be about that. But I actually do really believe all businesses have a part to play. I actually think it's part of business because, so for example, my wife's worked in a lot of nonprofits, and it's really cool to see the inner workings. And I'm always really impressed and inspired by what they do. But the reality is they also have to spend tons of their time, at least half, trying to raise money to do what they do. And they're always typically kind of short-staffed and under-resourced. And so I think, like, what, just imagine if every business even gave like 1%, you know, to what their employees want to give it to, do anything. You know, the economic engine is business. And so that's where the money is. My coach always says, the world doesn't need another Brooke philanthropist.
Well, that's
more. I'm like, you know, I just think so. And then there's this example I always think of, because we kind of put away some of our profits to give to things every year. And I, you know, I always think of this example that in ancient times they would have this. There was kind of just this norm that people, you know, farmers would kind of leave the edges of their field for people who needed food, who were in need, to kind of come by and take some of it. And I'm like, man, if we just could kind of build that mentality in, I'm going on a rant here, but yeah, I think business, I think business actually is part of their role to make social impact and to give back. So yeah, what about you? What are your thoughts on that?
I was thinking of an article I saw this morning, and it was on a very macro scale version of what social impact can be, and it was Microsoft. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, but Microsoft, in response to a lot of the problems that are challenges that are happening in the States, and I'm an American citizen too, so I see a lot of the happening, but their response to a lot of low wages and a lot of missing federal rules that would help with, you know, parental leave. What they decided was every company that I'm not going to remember the exact number, but that has a certain percentage of business, so they're the large players with Microsoft, they're required to give 12 weeks of parental leave to both adoption and birth for both parents.
Yeah.
Now, how crazy is that? That they, because they have so much play in the world, right? They're this huge tech company. They are now mandating every partner they work with on a certain percentage to be able to give the exact parental leave that they give their employees. Like, that is social impact right there. Huge.
Yeah, that is huge. And, you know, that's before this company, I was working in a Fortune 500, kind of leading a culture transformation. And now I actually work with a leader there to kind of do this with their team, where, you know, just by helping create the environment where their people can pursue causes that they're passionate about, where they can kind of craft their role to some extent, where they can feel like they can bring their whole self into their work and not have to separate the two. I mean, it's incredible how, you know, they make so much impact, because people already have those desires in them. They just feel, they always feel suppressed in the workplace. Yeah. And so I think another big part businesses can play is creating a culture that fosters things like what you're talking about, you know, policies, but also just how the environment and kind of what the norms are in the team.
No, it's true. And I mean, I'll just do one more example because I love this idea too, but I saw the 4-day work week, a company, I think in Switzerland, they had tested it, and on every measurable they had, it outperformed the traditional work week. Everything, profit, employee retention, everything. And they showed that just by simply changing, by providing that social impact of the opportunity to live both your personal life and professional life, there was actually better performance.
yeah, man. Seriously. Yeah, there's a company I love called Unbridled Solutions. They do, they give away, I think it's something like 20% of their profits they give away to social causes. And they also help employees launch the business. If an employee kind of has a dream job, they help them launch and help fund that launch.
That's awesome.
They keep it under their umbrella. So it's like the business wins, that person wins, and they kind of have their own runway. And the business is taking all of this profitability and, like, you know, really helping people with it. So there's so many examples.
It's incredible. And this will lead well into the last question too, but for anyone watching and anyone in your network, what's your advice for them to begin making a social impact in their communities? What's the first step?
Yeah. And I love that you're saying first step, right? Because people get paralyzed thinking I got to like get to that dream place or that end goal right away. And then you just kind of procrastinate.
So
it really is all about take one baby step forward, and usually that action brings a lot of clarity. So, so this is how I would frame it. If you picture like, you mentioned Strength Finders earlier, and they kind of talk about this type of idea. So if you picture like a scale, like negative 10 to 10, right? And people have like some fives, like some things that they're good at, it's like a five. And then some weakness areas, it's like a negative five. And our whole society, our education system, our corporate system, like so much of our system tells you to spend all your extra energy making this negative five, try to bring it up to like a zero, right? Work on your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so meanwhile, you've got no extra time to help bring these things up. What if you actually took that energy, you know, just spend a little bit, just try to bring those negative fives up so they're not hurting you or kind of damaging things. And then spend all your extra energy moving this five up to like a 12.
Yeah.
Well, the things you're naturally good at and passionate about, like it's not a unicorn kind of fluffy idea. Like you really are unique in those things. And so if you take it to a 12, you're going to be able to make impact that no one else can make because that's your unique wiring. And now you've just like, you know, amped it up. So I just love that idea of, what's one step? Just take it one step at a time. What's one thing I could do to move that five up to a 5.1, you know? Or what's one thing I could do to stop focusing on that negative five and focus on my strengths? And so I find that if people can just, you know, figure out that intersection of kind of strengths and passions and what they need in their environment, then, you know, they can, it's that whole thing, like, you can't help someone else, you can't help other people until you help yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can, but the reality is, you're going to be making a fraction of the impact that you could if you really took some time, give yourself some attention, you know, not a selfish thing, to just look inside, figure out, get some clarity on who you are and what you're good at and what you love, and then just start taking baby steps forward. And you know, usually, Avery, I find that if people just bounce that off of a friend, just tell somebody, usually you make a lot of progress just by telling someone. It's like, man, this is what I was thinking about. And you get so much good feedback from an outside perspective. I think we're often, I was always afraid to share, you know, when I was thinking about my passion, share with someone because of judgment or, you know, reputation or just fear of rejection or whatever it is. And then I had a mentor say, you know, you just need to tell some people who are in your kind of close circle what you really want to do, what those passions are. And I was like, I can't do that. And he's like, just give it a try. And sure enough, when I did, you know, they wanted to help me get there, and they did. And they gave me, you know, they reflected back and gave me a lot of clarity. So, you know, I just encourage people to get intentional and take some time to figure some of that out.
I love the piece you said about clarity, because I find that you can have an idea and the precipice of it is, you know, your own, but, maybe as you know, dreamers, and as you know, building a business, you tend to see the beginning and the end, but never the middle. And what is how to get there? Because you'll if you don't have that conceptualization of that help, you'll pivot along, right? And that just makes your dream harder and longer away. But if you have the people, you know, friends and families and mentors for sure helping guide you along there, it's basically an A to B, right? I mean, it goes like this, but it's much more like this than not like this. So
exactly, yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. I think that's what encapsulates, you know, our entire conversation is being intentional, but also reaching out, right? If you reach out to, you know, I think there's a statistic or study that says five people, that makes your idea solid, right? Five people's opinions will shape your.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's so important to be in community on that stuff. Because, you know, I call it, there's this quote, I don't know where it came from, that says, we're not sure who discovered water, but we're pretty sure it wasn't the fish.
Yeah.
And you're like, da-da-tsh. Oh, funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point is so good, you know, the water you swim in every day, it's what you're used to. And so sometimes you don't even realize what you're amazing at. You don't realize that it's unique. You think like, oh, everyone thinks this, everyone does this, everyone likes this. And what I find in working with people in this stuff is usually the thing that makes them most unique. They're completely unaware that it's a special thing. So, you know, people around you can point that out usually, and it just takes a simple question. yeah.
That's amazing. Well, Steve, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. You know, this conversation energized me because I love culture too, but I just, you know, thank you at the bottom of my heart for being a guest on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is really fun. Love what you're doing.